from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio 92.9 The Game.
A lot happens on the weekends.
And the world of Atlanta sports doesn't stop.
Neither do we.
We get together like this every weekend.
Now it's time to talk all things ATL sports.
With Chris Guilford.
Yeah!
Yeah! Chris has the latest on what's happening with our Falcons, Hawks, United, Dogs, and everything in between.
Live Atlanta Sports Talk on the weekends, here.
We're going to make it happen this weekend.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, here's Chris Goforth.
Let's get it going this Sunday afternoon. Glad to be with you. Hanging out for the next 4 hours together. Dom's behind the glass today. Good to see you today, Dom. Look, we don't have too many of these. Sundays left together like this. Falcons football is coming up fast. We are 10 days away from the opening of training camp. 10 days, it's here.
Absolutely, man. I cannot wait. I'm super excited. You know, we're starting to make it through the dog days of summer, where there's nothing on but like golf. So we're starting to get back.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, again, you know, we're 10 days away from training camp. SEC Media Days gets underway Monday. I mean, we're here. You know, football season, for all intents and purposes, it's here. And those early days of training camp, I stay glued to the NFL Network. I always, Eric talked about it, I think when he and I were together, maybe it was last week, about how, you know, he always loves to see the you know, the coverage of training camp and guys, you know, showing up at training camp, and that's always a big deal. I get excited for the start of the season this time of the year. Before we get to football, though, and we're going to talk a lot of football today, both college football and the NFL, I did want to mention I had the opportunity to call the Atlanta Dream here on 92.9 The Game on Friday night. First time ever at the Gateway Center in College Park. What a cool arena, and what a great place. A lot of families there, a lot of daddies and daughters. A really neat place. Dom, have you ever been to Gateway Center?
Yeah, I've seen a few, like the Skyhawks games and stuff when they do stuff there, but it's really nice when I've gone.
It's very cool. I want to go back. I want to go back and take the family. I want to go back as a I want to go back as a fan and take the family and go. They do a really good job there. I thought it was the outcome obviously wasn't what, you know, especially if you're pulling for Atlanta, the outcome Friday night was not exactly what you were hoping for, but that's an Atlanta Dream roster that's kind of like the Braves right now. They're pretty beat up from an injury standpoint. So the outcome wasn't necessarily what you're looking for or what you're hoping for. But, man, I was impressed with the arena and just the overall atmosphere. Everybody there, super nice, man. Just met a lot of really, really nice people. Just a really cool event. So I did not want to get too far into today without bringing that up and encouraging anybody. If you've never been, go. If you thought about going, do it. It's, again, they do from a game day presentation as far as that goes. They do it upright. It was a good time. It was a good time. Would have liked to have had a different outcome Friday night, but again, good time. A lot of really, really nice people there, though, on Friday night, and got a chance to meet a lot of them, and so that was really cool. Really cool. All right, let's get to some football here. Said it a moment ago. Tomorrow, for me, the unofficial start of football season. SEC Media Days gets underway in Dallas. Yes, Dallas. This will mark the first time that this event, and it is the preseason event in college football. Make no mistake about it. But this will be the first time ever that this event has not been in the Birmingham, Hoover, Alabama area, here in Atlanta, or in Nashville. In the early days of this, when the SEC started it back in the mid-'80s, they had it at the, I think it was actually at the Birmingham Civic Center. And then that's also the place they used to have WCW wrestling back in the day. But they used to have it there. And then they moved it to the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover. And it was there, had a long, long run at the Winfrey Hotel. And then they started to move it around a little bit. They took it to, it came to the College Football Hall of Fame here in Atlanta. It was there. They went back to the Winfrey. They ended up keeping it there in 2020 because of COVID. I think that was the year actually that it was supposed to be back here in Atlanta. They later on brought it back to the College Football Hall of Fame. And then last year, they did it in Nashville. This year, it's in Dallas. This will be the first time that it has been out of, you know, what I guess you would call the Deep South, or the really that hardcore SEC footprint now. And obviously, this is about Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference. I can give you a pretty good idea of what the storylines are going to be this week and what folks are going to be talking about this week. You know, Texas and Oklahoma coming into the conference, I think that's going to obviously, that'll be a huge name, image, and likeness. There's going to be a lot being talked about with that. If you didn't hear the news this week, Phil Knight of Nike has offered unlimited name, image, and likeness to Oregon, basically saying, I've got deep pockets, bottomless pockets, so you've got bottomless pockets now. So I think you're going to hear about that. I think there's going to be some talk about what took place. The Big 12, they had their media days this last week. Two things come out of that. One was Jay Norvell, and we'll get into this later on. Jay Norvell's the head coach at Colorado State. Jay Norvell came out and said Kansas State, Texas A&M, and Ole Miss were basically offering money to his quarterback to get him to go into the transfer portal. You've also got the rumor that came out at the end of the week, and I say rumor, but now this is being reported on by some people that I believe are in the know, and that is that the Big 12 has a strong interest in trying to add Florida State and Clemson. And Brett Yormark, the commissioner of the Big 12, said, and this is a quote, "I guess you could say we're still open for business. This is not the time to press pause." I think there's going to be more talk. You're going to hear more talk this week about conference expansion, where the SEC fits into that, and what the Big 12 may be up to. I think you're going to hear a lot of talk about the 12-team playoff, the fact that the SEC no longer has divisions anymore. That's going to be different. The idea that there is a new television contract for the conference, CBS, no longer being a part of that. And I think we're once again going to hear about conference scheduling and the move to 9 conference games. And I think that's going to happen at some point in the SEC. And I think it should. I mean, I think that's what we all want. That's what brings us to the television to watch SEC football, or those conference games. You know, people keep wanting to bring up, well, you've got to protect those longtime non-conference rivalries. You know, you got to make sure that the Georgia Tech game continues, that the Clemson South Carolina game, that it survives. Make sure that Florida can still play Florida State and Miami. I just don't see where the move to 9 conference games means that any of those kind of non-conference rivalry games have to go away in any way, shape, or form. You can play 9 conference games. You take your one non-conference rivalry, that puts you at 10. You've still got two more games left in the season, in your regular season. If you want to schedule an FCS opponent, I don't think those games are going away, by the way. If it hasn't been announced yet, I think there's a couple of announcements, and I'm just repeating rumor, but there's a couple of announcements of some SEC teams entering into some scheduling agreements with some FCS, or the old Division I AA, as we used to call it, teams. So you can still pull that off if you want to. And if you want to play another, you know, another Power Four or another, you know, group of five team, whatever, you've still got two more games that you can schedule. So I don't see where the move to nine conference games means that any of those non-conference rivalries have to end. Georgia's going to be predicted as the favorite in the conference when the media vote is tallied and announced later this week. I actually think Georgia is, I think they may be picked first by a large margin, honestly. The only thing that kind of causes me to hesitate a little bit on that is because this thing's going to be in Texas, and I think the folks in Texas are really excited about what they've got with the Longhorns, and I think there's going to be a lot of Texas media there. So I think Texas is going to garner some votes as well. Kirby Smart, he'll be there. He'll have to answer some tough questions. Some of these off-the-field issues, in particular the speeding, the motor vehicle violations that continue to pile up around the Georgia program. We learned about two more of those this week. This is one of those recurring things that continues to come up, it seems. Kirby Smart said last summer, and this is a quote from DogNation.com, he said, "I don't think we can ever eradicate speeding. I don't know that that's possible, but I'm going to damn sure try. I'll try my best because I don't think what we're doing right now has been effective enough." Smart said he wasn't going to blame NIL for the driving incidents, but acknowledged the money players come by earlier in their careers and the relative inexperience many have behind the wheel are factors. NIL money has given them the ability to have a higher horsepower car, he says. That was last July. That's a microcosm of society and the age group that we're talking about that does that. It's a tough situation to manage when you have 18 to 22-year-old men, a lot of them driving for the first time, Smart said. Every fall, we have 25 new guys. We've averaged five guys who come in here at 18 years old with no driver's license, and we continue to work at it. That was Kirby Smart. Again, that was last summer, as quoted by DogNation.com. He's not commented, at least not that I have seen, on the two situations that came out this week. But again, there will be questions that we'll have to answer. I don't want to put the entire thing on NIL, but I think this is one of those unintended type consequences when you start giving young guys money. If I was 18, 19 years old, somebody gave me $300,000, $600,000, whatever it was, I'd probably bid where I would have gone with it as well, is to a dealership and gotten a car. So again, one of those unintended consequences when you give young guys that kind of money, he's going to have to answer for that this week. I think Lane Kiffin has kind of taken that mantle from Steve Spurrier, and Mike Leach is the head coach that people want to hear from. Kiffin, I'm sure, will have something to say on the passing of his dad, Monty Kiffin, longtime defensive coordinator of the Buccaneers, but spent the last 15 or so years coaching with his son. I think Lane's probably going to have a lot to say this week. Steve Spurrier always called it talking season, and I guess that's what's going on starting this week. It's talking season. So we'll get more into it. Our buddy Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine is going to be with us. Lynn is actually in Dallas, where the SEC Media Days start tomorrow. This event coincides with the Baseball All-Star Game every year. That's something that The SEC's done for years. I've always thought it was smart. They put this on the calendar at the same time the baseball All-Star break, because outside of those one or two nights you got the home run derby and the All-Star game, there's pretty much nothing else going on in the sports news cycle. So we'll get more into it with Lynn coming up in a few minutes. We'll also get to your calls before the end of the hour as well. We'll give you a chance to weigh in on how you think the first half of the season has gone for the Braves. Stick around. A lot more to get to. Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's joins us next here on as we talk SEC Media Days here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Hey, fantasy football owners, anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talking all things Atlanta sports on the weekends with Chris Goforth.
This weekend on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth back with you on this Sunday. It is talking season. That means it's time for SEC Media Days. It actually gets underway tomorrow in Dallas. Our man Lynn Scarborough is there, and he is joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. As, again, Lynn, we go through this every year. It is talking season, as Steve Spurrier used to call it. What do you anticipate being the big story coming out of SEC Media Days this week?
Well, it's got to be the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, because we're going from a 14-team league to a 16-team league. You and I remember when it was a 10-team and a 12-team league. And so that's got to be the main thing. And on top of that, then the impact of the transfer portal. And it's going to be a new experience for us tomorrow than we've had. And I've been covering this thing for, 35 years or however many years we've had it. And it's going to be a unique experience. You know, we'll have a number of coaches that are at SEC Media Days for the first time. I do think it's kind of interesting. It's made some changes. I'm not wild about the fact that I'm in Dallas. Nothing against Dallas, but, I come from Alabama, and I would feel even more that way, I think, if I came from Florida or South Carolina or East Tennessee. You know, it's a long way. I lean toward the SEC having its main event, football media days, basketball media days, the baseball tournament, football championship game, basketball tournaments. I lean toward those being more centrally located. I think it's better for it to, be more equal travel. And I think it's better for it to be in a central location so that the entire SEC office doesn't have to move as far. I think having the basketball media days and the baseball tournament in Birmingham are a smart idea. And I think Nashville's fine, Atlanta's fine. I'm not wild about having to travel all the way out here to Dallas. But it's going to have, from the radio standpoint, I suspect we'll have some electronic media people at this event that have not been there before. It's interesting the way they've got things set up, and really, really looking forward to seeing how things pan out.
Yeah, with all that being said, Lynn, what do you anticipate the attendance being like this year? Because, as you've kind of noted, this is the first year that the SEC has ever moved really out of the deep south to be able to do this.
That's right. And I hope that one of these offsets the other one. I know a lot of people that are not going to be there. that I almost every year can count on being there, getting to socialize and see friends in person, and also do live radio. That's not going to be the case this year for so many that I've talked to because of the distance and because of the money. The SEC has continued to increase the amount of money that it costs for electronic media to be there. And it's no easy thing. My drive out here to Dallas is a 10-hour drive. I've made some stops along the way. A lot of folks I know are flying that will be arriving in today. I got a couple I work with will be arriving in tomorrow, Monday night. It's an expensive airline trip. And then when you get here, you got to rent a car or take some kind of shuttle or Uber or something from DFW all the way down here to the center. And, you know, you're staying in a hotel is a $800 expense if you're here the entire time. And things are pricing out some folks, Chris. And so I think we'll have fewer people from let's say the eastern part of the region. But we're going to have people there, I hope, from Texas and Oklahoma that hadn't been there before. Because there's very few radio people that have ever been there from Texas and TV people. And I think that'll change. And I think that's probably one reason that the conference decided to move it out here. You don't want to say it's like toss a bone, but adding the Dallas market, certainly Austin. We've already had South Texas with A&M, and Oklahoma City and Norman. Those are important areas. And the SEC has done a logical thing, Chris. The expansion of the SEC has been logical. I quite frankly am one that wishes we hadn't done it. But it's logical. They're natural rivals. They're in contiguous states to the rest of the SEC. It's not like bringing Oregon into a league with Rutgers or bringing Arizona State into a league with West Virginia or Stanford into a league with Miami. Those make no geographic sense. They make no natural rival sense. And they just add great expense. At least the SEC, I think, has done it the right way.
Lynn, who's the coach you're most looking forward to hearing from?
Well, you know, from an overall standpoint, probably Sarkisian. But from coming in and being new standpoint, probably DeVore. Because he's having to come in and take the place of Saban. And we've got them in the top 10, but we've got them as the fourth SEC team. We got Georgia to win it. We've got Texas number 3. We've got Ole Miss number 5. And then finally coming in there at number 7 is Alabama. For most people, you wouldn't say finally coming in if you're number 7. But for Alabama, we got 3 other SEC teams ahead of them. We've got 9 of the top 19 teams in Lindy's top 25. We've got 9 of those teams in the top 19. So you've got, you know, half of the top 20 is going to be in Dallas for the next 4 days. And to take that down, I mentioned Kentucky and Auburn being the last two teams that go on. We've got Auburn, I think, 34th and Kentucky 36th or something like that. I can tell you there aren't 37 teams in the country better than Kentucky. There aren't 33 teams in the country better than Auburn. However, those teams that aren't better than them aren't playing in a league that's got 9 of the top 19 teams. And you're talking about a really tough nut. Kentucky's got a pretty good team. Auburn's got a really good squad. They got a good team. But you can't look at other teams in the league. Hey, Florida. We got Florida down at like 11th or 12th in a 16-team league. Florida's got good players. But, Chris, I'm looking forward to seeing Napier because he's on the hot seat. And I hope that Florida fans, I hope they give their team a break, give Napier a break. They've got the most difficult schedule that I ever remember a college. I've only been doing this for, 50 years. And I never remember a team having as tough a schedule as Florida's got this year. So I'll be interested to see how Napier covers that, what kind of questions these coaches are asked.
Lynn Scarborough with Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. We're talking SEC Media Days here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Lynn, I saw this week where Florida has canceled a series with Cal, and immediately people start to speculate, could we have a 9-game conference schedule coming soon? I don't know that we get any kind of announcement from Greg Sankey about that this week, but do you think at some point in time we see that 9-game conference schedule in the SEC?
Yes. And I've advocated that for some time. I advocated that when we had 14 teams. I've written a column about that that's been on Lindy's website and where we post our columns. This was like 2 years ago. Why do you have a 16-team league? This is a rhetorical question, but why do you have a 16-team league if by paying eight a year, you don't play a team for maybe 4 or 5 years, and then you don't play them again for another 4 or 5 years? It was already that way with the SEC with the 14-team league, and other conferences do that. Now, that does pose a problem in the Southeastern Conference, because the way that the conference sets up now, if you make Florida play 9 SEC games, well, they opened this year with Miami, and they closed this year with Florida State. That's two major games that should be played in-state games. Well, if Florida's playing 9 conference games, if they're going to still try to play Miami and Florida State, they don't have but one, quote, lesser game the entire season. Georgia. What are they going to do about playing Georgia Tech? South Carolina, what's it going to do about playing Clemson? Kentucky, what's it going to do about playing Louisville? You've got a lot of natural rivalry in-state games that should be played. We're already, because of all this expansion, we're already losing major ball games that should happen. Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, I don't know what they're doing about that. Maybe they got them stuck in there somehow. Notre Dame against Southern Cal. How about Washington and Washington State? Oregon and Oregon State. Washington State and Oregon State don't even have a conference to be in. I think that sometimes we do things that maybe sound good, but then when you really look at the repercussions of them and how they're going to be implemented, they don't necessarily make the sense that you thought it would. Yes, I do think the conference will go to 9 games. Even if they don't expand again, I think they'll go to 9 games. I don't know how soon it'll be. I don't know what the contracts are and how long the contracts last. They've already got in place. But, you know, don't necessarily just clap your hands and say, good, they're going to 9 games, even though I think they should, because you're going to lose a lot. You know, you're going to lose a lot of natural rivalries that, you know, that we've had forever. And I just hate if that happens. We've already lost so many in the SEC that used to take place. And I really hope it doesn't get worse than that.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine, talking SEC Media Days, a little college football here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Georgia's going to be picked first this year. I think that's pretty much a given at this point. Georgia's going to be the favorite coming out of SEC Media Days. No divisions this year. That's one of the changes we're going to see in the conference. But who gets picked second, Lynn?
Well, of course, we pick Texas. And I think I don't have it in front of me right now, Chris. I believe Georgia plays at Texas and Georgia plays at Alabama. And if you want to go by Lindy and look at the major games being played in the country, there's you two of them, Georgia at Texas and Georgia at Alabama. If Georgia's good enough to go on the road and win at Texas, our number 3 team, and at Alabama, our number 7 team, then I don't see any reason not to pick Georgia to win it. But in the SEC, you know, every year when you're trying to pick the rankings, this year being tougher really than any other because of the conference expansion and the games that aren't usually played, and then the schedule, where do you play and who do you play? Who do you play and where do you play them? Georgia's got a tough nut there. Florida, an extremely tough nut. We've got Missouri, number 9 in the country. When's the last time that happened? But maybe in the 35 years I've been with Lindy, maybe never. But look at their schedule. And they got 2 or 3 tough games. But if Missouri played Florida's schedule, they wouldn't win half their games, I don't believe. If Florida played Missouri's schedule, they're going to win 8 or 9 games and play in a good bowl. I'm not sure that Florida wins half its games and goes to a bowl game. There's just so many factors. I would put Texas in there at second. I think Ole Miss is a real – you can't, when you're number 5 in the country, you can't say you're a surprise team. They're not really going under the radar. I mean, they had the most successful transfer portal. Them in Colorado had the most successful transfer portal season. They had a decent recruiting season from high school and junior college. But they've got it going their way. They've got a schedule that if they're good enough to win the games, they can be in the picture. They got Jackson Dart coming back, who some people are mentioning him as a Heisman Trophy candidate. We've got 3 SEC quarterbacks that are mentioned in Heisman Trophy with Carson Beck and Jackson Dart and Milroe, I guess in Texas as well, if you want to throw that in there.
Lynn, let's
look. If Alabama's good enough to win at Oklahoma and beat Georgia, out Alabama. I mean, just because they're down at number four in the conference, they're still in the top seven in the country. And, I mean, they're loaded. And DeBoer's come in and had a really good recruiting year.
Lynn Scarborough, Lindy's College Football Preview Magazine. Check it out. It's on the newsstand. You can also find Lynn over at lindysports.com. Lynn, appreciate it, my man, as always. Have a great time in Dallas. And we'll look forward to catching up with you again here in a week or so and find out how everything went.
Yeah, that's good. Let's reconnect after the event, and we'll talk about what happened.
All right. Lynn Scarborough, he's been with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
On the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon. It's hot. So hot. Be careful if you're out and about today, if you're spending a lot of time outside, because it is, it's been like unpleasantly hot of late, and I tend to like hot weather, but now I did see, for what it's worth, Dom, maybe there's a little bit of a break coming. I did see where we could look at temperatures in the like highs in the mid 80s by the end of this week.
Okay, so there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
That would be welcome. That would be welcome if we can get, you know, we can get highs in the around 80, you know, 84, 85. I'd be good with that. Be good with that. So maybe we get a little bit of relief. Appreciate our friend Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's giving us a little time this weekend. He is going to be at SEC Media Days this week in Dallas. It is definitely going to be different. That's for sure. We'll talk more college football coming up later on in the show. The ACC, they've got their media event happening next week. It actually starts on Monday the 22nd, so it starts a week from tomorrow. Garrett Chapman from 92.9 The Game, and also 24/7 Sports, where he covers Georgia Tech. He'll be with us a little bit later on. We'll talk about those Jackets. We're going to spend the next hour all about the National Football League. We got our five Falcons question. Dom will have those teed up for this week. And then Darren Gant will join us from Panthers.com to give us a little bit of a preview of the Carolina Panthers. Lots of changes happening there. Dave Canales taking over as the head coach. They've got a new offensive coordinator, much like the Falcons. They've got a first-time coordinator as well as the offensive coordinator, much like the Falcons. So we've also got our NFL notebook. We'll get to all of that just about an hour from now. So all that is coming up. All right, I want to shift gears here for just a minute because I wanted to get to a little bit of baseball today before the end of our first hour. I wanted to give you the opportunity to be able to weigh in today as well. Braves face the Padres today in what is the final game of the first half of the season. The All-Star break in baseball gets underway tomorrow, and the Braves head into it 52-42 on the year, 9.5 games back of the Phillies in the East. Now, they do hang on to that top wild card spot in the National League, but it's been a tough year for the Braves. They've lost Spencer Strider for the year. Ronald Acuna is out for the year. Michael Harris is missing extensive time. And we know back in the offseason, the coaching staff took some losses. Ron Washington left. Eric Young left. And this offense is, I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it other than it's just not good. You know, I keep waiting for some of these offensive numbers. They just can't be this bad, you know, and I keep thinking that at some point in time, it's going to kind of return to a median, if you will, and the Braves are going to have to get hot. They're going to go on a hot streak, and those numbers are going to, you know, you're going to have to get hot in order to elevate those numbers back to what is the median for the Braves. But I don't, you know, again, I've been waiting on that to happen. Or what are we looking at here, like 8 weeks? I feel like this has been going on. And I just don't feel so confident in it anymore. Talked about it last week. This is as frustrating of a season to watch the Braves. Even with the injuries, you feel like this team should still be better than what they are showing right now. So with the Braves hitting the midway point of the season today, well, actually, we're over the midway point in the year. Today is game 95, by the way, for the Braves. So there's only 67 games left in the season after today. But we typically view the All-Star break as kind of that, you know, mid-season point in the baseball calendar. So with that in mind, how about some midterm grades today for the Braves? What letter grade would you give the Braves based on their first half performance? I had high hopes for this team in March and in April. I'd have to give the Braves a C. If I were to grade the performance itself, I might say a D. But for all the struggles, and for as bad as this team has been at trying to score runs, they've done it without three of their best players, maybe the three best on the field for the biggest part of the year. Yet, here we are with a team that's still in position to take the top wild card spot. Just like we talked about a minute ago with the Braves, if that lackluster offense can start to come back around to what we consider to be an average year for these guys, then maybe you can ask for more or you can expect more. Same thing with the Phillies. Phillies have got, you know, Philadelphia is a team that's got a bunch of guys that are playing way better than what the back of the baseball card says that they are. So, you know, maybe there's some sort of leveling out here on both sides where the Braves start to play up or above where their level is and the Phillies start to play lower, because the way those historical numbers say their guys should be, then maybe you can expect more by the end of the year. But that's not been the case so far. So I give the Braves a C. That's passing, right? C's get degrees. That's what I used to say. You know what they call the guy that got C's in medical school, right? Doctor. So, you know, I can't give them a D or an F because, again, they're still in that position to be a playoff team. But this team, too talented to be getting a C. I think it's a B-plus roster, even without Strider, Acuna, and Harris, especially now that, you know, we've seen how Chris Sale has fared this year. I think we all maybe had a question mark or two about Chris Sale going into this. But I think this is it's a B-plus roster. You put those three guys we talked about, you put Strider and Acuna and Michael Harris back, and I think we're talking about an A-plus roster at that point. What letter grade would you give the Braves as we have hit the midway point of this season? 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in again, 404-726-0929. If you want to hit us up on X, you can do that at 929 The Game. You can also find me on Twitter at ChrisGoForth1 if you want to weigh in. But what is the letter grade that you would assign to the Braves? It's your chance to play professor. What letter grade would you give the Braves based on the way they have performed at this point in the season? Again, Chris Sale, I think, has been fantastic. Max Fried. Fried's had some bad luck. I mean, even this week, he pitched well the other night. He gave up a solo home run, and the Braves get shut out 1-0 in Arizona. That's tough. That's tough. You have to feel like, I guess, with this offense right now, that you got to be perfect in every start because you're not getting help from this lineup. So we're handing out midterm grades today here on 92.9 The Game. What grade would you give the Braves? Again, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up on Twitter at 929thegame. You can also find us, or find me at least, at Crisco41. All right, Dom, before we start to get to some folks weighing in on Twitter here, and we've had a couple, I'll get to that. Your letter grade for the Braves this year?
Right now, I feel similar to you. I'll give them a C plus. I'll give them the plus just because of injuries. But I do think, despite the unfortunate injuries they've had to deal with, this team is still good enough to be better than where they currently find themselves.
Tomahawk, and still, by the way, the best Twitter handle, at Tomahawkin17. He says, first part. One, the rotation and pen have been an A. Our offense has been a C minus. I think it's the doctored baseball, but our offense has K'd 20% more this year. Man, what happened to the All-Star game? The 94 game was appointment TV. Now training camp gets more hype. He says, I told Freaky earlier that Marcel can't be dependent on carrying this offense in the postseason. This team is full of streaky hitters, and the bats will probably go flat again October without cooler weather. Or with the cooler weather, that scares the hell out of me. That's from Tomahawkin. He ain't wrong about the All-Star game, by the way. The All-Star game has kind of lost a little bit of its, at least it has for me. I mean, it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster. I've seen, gosh, who was it? Somebody had posted a couple of All-Star highlights. Murphy hitting a home run in that, gosh, was it the 84 All-Star game that was at Candlestick? Bob Horner hitting a home run in the All-Star game. Somebody, I think it was Braves on TBS, which is a really cool follow. I'll give them a shout out because it's a really cool follow if you're on X. But they had a whole thing earlier this week with the, it was like behind the scenes of the All-Star game in, I don't know, 81 maybe, but it was Murphy, Horner, and Phil Niekro. That was cool. That, to me, the All-Star game felt big. Maybe the idea that we have interleague games now, maybe that's had some sort of an effect on it. But I agree, it's the All-Star game doesn't have the appeal for me. What is the letter grade that you would give the Atlanta Braves here at the All-Star break? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Skip, who's up first. Hey, Skip.
What's going on, big guy? How you doing there, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Chris. Yeah, man. I'm a big Braves fan. I've been a Braves fan since 68, man. And you're right, man. It's one of the disappointing seasons I have ever endured, even during the losing season. But my grade, I want to give him a C, but the starting pitching in the bullpen, you know, that's A plus across the board. But I'm gonna take it a step further. The offense, man, I'm gonna have to give a D plus, man. I'm gonna give a D plus because you only got one guy that's been consistent. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the strikeouts are so up this year. Man, it's like they're not taking pitches and they just swinging at bad pitches and they struggling. I don't know. It put too much pressure on them. But I'm gonna take it a step further. I'm going to give double A Anthopoulos. I'm going to give him a C to go along with these grades, man, because I know I go at it with the morning show all the time, and that I said it 4 weeks ago they should have started making some kind of move in the outfield, at least get Pham or something that wanted to be here. And if it didn't work out, you can flip them around by the time the trade deadline get here. Because my thing about it is that now you waiting and waiting. Now you got to give up more prospects because now you're going against other clubs instead of in the beginning, yeah, when 4 weeks ago you could have got somebody for cheap.
Yeah. Nate, Skip, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Nate. He's next. Nate, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's your letter grade for the Braves so far?
I would say overall, I'm kind of with the last guy. I would say overall I'm going with a B. I think our pitching has been way better than we would have even thought. And I think our bats are just performing a lot lower than we thought as well. I will say just one of the biggest things I think personally is just the last 2 years the Braves have set the expectations so high that now even when we have just a little tiny bit
down year like this at the beginning, everybody just wants to, you know, flip out and panic and stuff. Right. I mean, overall, we have a pitching staff that's performed 10 times better than we would have thought at the beginning of the year. We're still 10 games above 500. So for where we're at this point in the season, I'll still definitely take it with all the stuff we've been through, that's for sure. And I appreciate y'all's time, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Nate. 404-726-0929. What's your letter grade for the Atlanta Braves as we have hit the All-Star break starting tomorrow in baseball? Let's go to Ken, who's next. Ken, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? It's kind of weird hearing you talk about baseball and not the Falcons right now.
Hang on. We'll get there, Ken. Hang on.
And then I heard you doing WNBA. You're a very versatile man right now.
Oh, let's don't get too carried away. What you got for me?
So, to be honest, my grade is actually a B+. I've been watching the Braves closely. I went to the home opener. I've seen a few games. I love watching the Braves. I've been a fan of from Georgia just like everybody else. But the reason...
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Talk on the weekends.
That's right, for the whole weekend.
Back to more Chris Goforth
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth in on this Sunday afternoon. It's hot. So hot. Be careful if you're out and about today, if you're spending a lot of time outside, because it is, it's been like unpleasantly hot of late, and I tend to like hot weather. But now, I did see, for what it's worth, Dom, maybe there's a little bit of a break coming. I did see where we could look at temperatures in the, like, highs in the mid-80s by the end of this week.
Okay, so there's some light at the end of the tunnel.
That would be welcome. That would be welcome if we can get, you know, we can get highs in the around 80, you know, 84, 85. I'd be good with that. So maybe we get a little bit of relief. Appreciate our friend Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's giving us a little time this weekend. He is going to be at SEC Media Days this week in Dallas. It is definitely going to be different, that's for sure. We'll talk more college football coming up later on in the show. The ACC, they've got their media event happening next week. It actually starts on Monday the 22nd, so it starts a week from tomorrow. Garrett Chapman from 92.9 The Game, and also 24/7 Sports, where he covers Georgia Tech. He'll be with us a little bit later on. We'll talk about those Jackets. We're going to spend the next hour all about the National Football League. We got our 5 Falcons question. Dom will have those teed up for this week. And then Darren Gant will join us from Panthers.com to give us a little bit of a preview of the Carolina Panthers. Lots of changes happening there. Dave Canales taking over as the head coach. They've got a new offensive coordinator, much like the Falcons. They've got a first-time coordinator as well, as the offensive coordinator, much like the Falcons. So we've also got our NFL notebook. We'll get to all of that just about an hour from now. So all that is coming up. All right, I want to shift gears here for just a minute because I wanted to get to a little bit of baseball today before the end of our first hour. I wanted to give you the opportunity to be able to weigh in today as well. Braves face the Padres today in what is the final game of the first half of the season. The All-Star break in baseball gets underway tomorrow, And the Braves head into it 52-42 on the year, 9.5 games back of the Phillies in the East. Now, they do hang on to that top wild card spot in the National League, but it's been a tough year for the Braves. They've lost Spencer Strider for the year. Ronald Acuna is out for the year. Michael Harris is missing extensive time. And we know back in the offseason, the coaching staff took some losses. Ron Washington left. Eric Young left. And this offense is, I mean, I don't know how any other way to put it other than it's just not good. You know, I keep waiting for some of these offensive numbers. They just can't be this bad, you know, and I keep thinking that at some point in time, it's going to kind of return to a median, if you will, and the Braves are going to have to get hot. They're going to go on a hot streak, and those numbers are going to, you know, you're going to have to get hot in order to elevate those numbers back to what is the median for the Braves. But I don't, you know, again, I've been waiting on that to happen. Or what are we looking at here, like 8 weeks? I feel like this has been going on, and I just don't feel so confident in it anymore. Talked about it last week. This is as frustrating of a season to watch the Braves. Even with the injuries, you feel like this team should still be better than what they are showing right now. So with the Braves hitting the midway point of the season today, well, actually, we're over the midway point in the year. Today is game 95, by the way, for the Braves. So there's only 67 games left in the season after today. But we typically view the All-Star break as kind of that, you know, mid-season point in the baseball calendar. So with that in mind, how about some midterm grades today for the Braves? What letter grade would you give the Braves based on their first half performance? I had high hopes for this team in March and in April. I'd have to give the Braves a C. If I were to grade the performance itself, I might say a D. But for all the struggles and for as bad as this team has been at trying to score runs, they've done it without three of their best players, maybe the three best on the field for the biggest part of the year. Yet, here we are with a team that's still in position to take the top wild card spot, just like we talked about a minute ago with the Braves. If that lackluster offense can start to come back around to what we consider to be an average year for these guys, then maybe you can ask for more or you can expect more. Same thing with the Phillies. Phillies have got, you know, Philadelphia is a team that's got a bunch of guys that are playing way better than what the back of the baseball card says that they are. So, you know, maybe there's some sort of leveling out here on both sides where the Braves start to play up or above where their level is and the Phillies start to play lower because the way those historical numbers say their guys should be, then maybe you can expect more by the end of the year. But that's not been the case so far. So give the Braves a C. That's passing, right? C's get degrees. That's what I used to say. You know what they call the guy that got C's in medical school, right? Doctor. So, you know, I can't give them a D or an F because, again, they're still in that position to be a playoff team. But this team, too talented to be getting a C. I think it's a B-plus roster, even without Strider, Acuna, and Harris, especially now that, you know, we've seen how Chris Sale has fared this year. I think we all maybe had a question mark or two about Chris Sale going into this. But I think this is a B-plus roster. You put those three guys we talked about, you put Strider and Acuna and Michael Harris back, and I think we're talking about an A-plus roster at that point. What letter grade would you give the Braves as we have hit the midway point of this season. 404-726-0929. If you want to weigh in again, 404-726-0929. If you want to hit us up on X, you can do that at 929 the game. You can also find me on Twitter at ChrisGoForth1 if you want to weigh in. But what is the letter grade that you would assign to the Braves? It's your chance to play professor. What letter grade would you give the Braves based on the way they have performed at this point in the season? Again, Chris Sale, I think, has been fantastic. Max Fried. Fried's had some bad luck. I mean, even this week, he pitched well the other night. He gave up a solo home run, and the Braves get shut out 1-0 in Arizona. That's tough. That's tough. You have to feel like, I guess, with this offense right now, that you got to be perfect in every start because you're not getting help from this lineup. So we're handing out midterm grades today here on 92.9 The Game. What grade would you give the Braves? Again, 404-726-0929. You can hit us up on Twitter at 929 The Game. You can also find me at least at ChrisGoForth1. All right, Dom, before we start to get to some folks weighing in on Twitter here, and we've had a couple, I'll get to that. Your letter grade for the Braves this year?
Right now, I feel similar to you. I'll give them a C+. I'll give them the plus just because of injuries. But I do think, despite the unfortunate injuries they've had to deal with, this team is still good enough to be better than where they currently find themselves.
Tomahawkins still, by the way, the best Twitter handle, at Tomahawkins17. He says, first part, 1, the rotation and pen have been an A. Our offense has been a C-. I think it's the doctored baseball, but our offense has K'd 20% more this year. Man, what happened to the All-Star game? The 94 game was appointment TV. Now training camp gets more hype. He says, I told Freaky earlier that Marcel can't be dependent on carrying this offense in the postseason. This team is full of streaky hitters, and the bats will probably go flat again October without cooler weather. Or with the cooler weather, that scares the hell out of me. That's from Tomahawkin. He ain't wrong about the All-Star game, by the way. The All-Star game has kind of lost a little bit of its, at least it has for me. I mean, it's kind of lost a little bit of its luster. I've seen, who was it? Somebody had posted a couple of All-Star highlights. Murphy hitting a home run in that, was it the 84 All-Star game that was at Candlestick? Bob Horner hitting a home run in the All-Star game. Somebody, I think it was Braves on TBS, which is a really cool follow. I'll give them a shout out because it's a really cool follow if you're on X. But they had a whole thing earlier this week with the, it was like behind the scenes of the All-Star game in, I don't know, 81 maybe, but it was Murphy, Horner, and Phil Niekro. That was cool. That, to me, the All-Star game felt big. Maybe the idea that we have interleague games now, maybe that's had some sort of an effect on it. But I agree, it's the All-Star game doesn't have the appeal for me. What is the letter grade that you would give the Atlanta Braves here at the All-Star break? Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929. Let's go to Skip, who's up first. Hey, Skip.
What's going on, big guy? How you doing there, man?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Chris. Yeah, man. I'm a big Braves fan. I've been a Braves fan since 68, man. And you're right, man. It's one of the disappointing seasons I have ever endured, even during the losing season. But my grade, I want to give him a C, but the starting pitching in the bullpen, that's A plus across the board. But I'm gonna take it a step further. The offense, man, I'm gonna have to give a D plus, man. I'm gonna give a D plus because you only got one guy that's been consistent. Mm-hmm. And like I said, the strikeouts are so up this year. Man, it's like they're not taking pitches and they just swinging at bad pitches and they struggling. I don't know. It put too much pressure on them. But I'm gonna take it a step further. I'm going to give AA Anthopoulos. I'm going to give him a C. to go along with these grades, man, because I know I go at it with the morning show all the time, and that I said it 4 weeks ago, they should have started making some kind of move in the outfield, at least get Fam or something that wanted to be here. And if it didn't work out, you can flip them around, you know, by the time the trade deadline get here. Because my thing about it is that now you waiting and waiting. Now you got to give up more prospects because now you're going against other clubs instead of in the beginning, yeah, when 4 weeks ago you could have got somebody for cheap.
Yeah. Nate, Skip, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Nate. He's next. Nate, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. What's your letter grade for the Braves so far?
I would say overall, I'm kind of with the last guy. I would say overall, I'm going with a B. I think our pitching has been way better than we would have even thought. And I think our bats are just performing a lot lower than we thought as well. I would say just one of the biggest things I think personally is just the last 2 years, the Braves have set the expectations so high that now even when we have just a little tiny bit down year like this at the beginning, everybody just wants to, you know, flip out and panic and stuff. Right. I mean, overall, we have a pitching staff that's performed 10 times better than we would have thought at the beginning of the year. We're still 10 games above 500. So for where we're at this point in the season, I'll still definitely take it with all the stuff we've been through, that's for sure. And I appreciate y'all's time, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, Nate. 404-726-0929. What's your letter grade for the Atlanta Braves as we have hit the All-Star break starting tomorrow in baseball? Let's go to Ken, who's next. Ken, you're on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, what's going on, Chris? It's kind of weird hearing you talk about baseball and not the Falcons right now.
Hang on. We'll get there, Ken. Hang on.
And then I heard you doing WNBA. You're a very versatile man right now.
Oh, let's don't get too carried away. What you got for me?
So, to be honest, my grade is actually a B+. I've been watching the Braves closely. I went to the home opener. I've seen a few games. I love watching the Braves. I've been a fan of from Georgia just like everybody else. But the reason I give them a B+ is because when we came into the season, our concern was about our starting pitching, and our pitching staff. And now you flip it, our concern is about our bats. And to be honest, if we're this deep into the season and we're not worrying about our pitching, that gives me a little bit of relief because I feel like it's harder to get pitching prepared and ready for the playoffs in October than it is to get the bats. The bats are up there, they're ebbs and flows. They go up and down. We know that. Now, Matt Olson, he's probably the one I'm most concerned about because I feel like he's kind of going back to his Oakland Athletic days to where he hovered around 240, 250. And we all know he's had a lot of swing and misses in his bat. But this year, he's my biggest concern. I feel like if he turns it around, he will have the Braves going up to that A-minus, A to where we would be okay. But with all the injuries that we've had, with, you know, the missteps that we've had, you know, Spencer going out, Charlie being Charlie, he's getting a little bit older. I'm kind of feeling like we're not in the worst position, and I feel like we're actually in a pretty good position as long as we get to October. Appreciate you, Chris.
Hey, man. Appreciate you. Listen to Ken bringing the optimism today. Bringing the optimism, Ken. I will say this. Skip mentioned Alex Anthopoulos. I'm an AA fan. I admit it. I think that guy has done wonders. And what he was able to do to go out and get Chris Sale for basically a song this year. I mean, you know, somebody had, I don't know if The Athletic or who, somebody had an article this week about the idea of, you know, Sale being in Cy Young contention with the year that he's having. So I think AA's done a look, he's got the trade deadline. Now, the Braves don't have a lot to give right now, it doesn't feel like. That farm system isn't where it was a couple of years ago. But we'll see what comes out of this. Hey, we got our five Falcons questions. We'll talk Falcons. We'll preview those Carolina Panthers. That's all still to come here during the 3 o'clock hour. Glad to have you hanging out with me. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.